If you're visiting, we appreciate your attendance, and you've honored us with your presence, and you are a special guest. So please take part in the service, and we want to hear you voices in full fetter while we start our singing, and it's good to be back. We were out last week, but let's turn to number 96 in the Heavenly Highway Hymns. Number 96. Everybody sing. Good, good. Turn over a few pages to number 109. 109. I'd rather have Jesus.
I'm Good morning, everybody. What would you rather have than Jesus? Think about it. There's a lot of people today would like to have a nice, red, pretty car, right? Maybe they'd rather have a very nice house or something like that. Probably a lot of people would love to have a lot of money, is what they would say. But what we understand is the best thing that you can have in life is Jesus Christ himself. And to know that he abides in your heart. That's what you need to know more than anything today, is that he abides in you, that he's living in you. His spirit is inside of you. That's what you need to know more than anything today. It's good to see everybody out today. We are hopeful and prayerful that everyone has had a blessed week. We had a good Wednesday night service the other night. It wasn't really a service, I guess you could say. We have been trying to get this done for better than a year as far as an educational thing. We had a suicide awareness class for our Wednesday night service the other night. And a lot of people might say, well, why would you do something like that? That's not really spiritual. But we have a lot of people today that are out there hurting, and they're not paying attention to God, first of all, but for the very fact that they are thinking about harming themselves, that is grounds for us to pay attention to them even more so. Years ago, a preacher friend of mine, he worked for the electric company, and a man had crawled up on top of the bridge there in Carthage, and he was looking at probably 100 to 150 foot, I guess, drop is what he was looking at, and he was planning on jumping. And that preacher friend of mine that was on the truck, he just asked him. He said, I'm going to ask you a question. He said, are you saved? And he said, no. He said, have you thought when you hit that water, you're going to bust hell wide open? Anybody that's unsaved, that's what they're going to do. In other words, if they don't have Jesus in their heart, they're going to bust hell wide open. And it's important for us to pay attention to people today, isn't it? To pay attention to what they're saying, because if they're hurting in that way, they may be in danger of going into a devil's hell. Now, out there on the table, you'll see some of these cards like this out there. They were things that were left for us. They have some good information. They have a site, I guess you call it a website or app, whatever you want to call it, with information on how to help people. If you did not come to the class the other night, it's something that is very important for us to have. And I would invite you to pick up one of these cards and to just study over that app is what I would ask you to do. You never know when you're going to come in contact with somebody that's wanting to do themselves harm and to end their life. And that's something they do not need to do, and especially if they're not saved, is what I would hope that you would do. It's good to see everyone here today. I appreciate everyone coming out. You don't have to listen to me today. That's going to be a blessing for you, right? We have Brother Cooper DeGraff and Reed that is going to be preaching for us today. He's a young preacher. Been preaching a few years ago now. But he came a few years ago and he talked to our youth group. I'll let him tell you more about himself here in just a little bit. But I've known Brother Cooper now for several years, and I think a lot of he and his wife, Caleb, used to play piano for us along. And I'm thankful for that, and glad to have her back with us today also. We want to be prayerful for her and him, especially him today as he'll be bringing the message today. Let's ask the Lord to be in our midst in this service today. We always have a little time with our kids today, so we're going to call our kids up here and have a little bit of a children's church today. So all the kids, we're going to do it right over here today. So come this way, kids. Everybody that will, come on. Come on, kids. Come on, Luke. He's right up there. Got a nice group today. There he is. So now I've got a big kid too. Luke likes to lead singing, in case y'all didn't know. And he does a good job. Good day, everybody. It's good to see all of y'all. It's good. It's been a while since we've had this many up here. All of y'all been going on trips and doing things, and I've missed you. Missed you a lot. Okay. My thought today is going to come out of the class of the day. And this was the thought that I had out of that class the other night. And it's a little different than what I talked about and what he talked about. But I'm going to ask you a question. I need somebody to answer this. What is a friend? Somebody that loves you and somebody that helps you. That's a very good definition. Anybody want to add to it? God is a friend. Very good. Anybody else want to add something to that? I'm going to go off what Sarah said. Bible tells us that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and that's God himself and Jesus. He is that friend that is that sticks closer than a brother. Is he a pretty good brother? Does he defend you when things are going, somebody's picking on you? You need to pick that up now. Okay, the idea is, a lot of times in our world today, and I talked to Scotty, I believe is right his name. I talked to him about it afterwards because he said what causes a lot of suicides is somebody bullying somebody. And what that is somebody picking on you all the time. And I made the comment to the man, I was bullied when I was in school. And it hurts like crazy when somebody is mean to you, right? So I'm going to ask you, if a friend is somebody that helps you, what is a bully? Somebody that's mean to you. That's very, he doesn't care. Very true. Are you a good friend? Do you consider yourself a good friend to everybody? Think about it now. Are you a good friend to everybody, even those people that maybe you don't particularly like? Well, she's honest. We ought to be kind. We ought to be friendly. We ought to be always one that's willing to help those that are in need, is what I want you to realize. Because you are the one that may lead them to a better life. And even if there's somebody that maybe doesn't dress like you do, maybe their hair doesn't look like yours, you need to help them. You can help them, but don't let them influence you to be bad, is what I want you to understand today. You be good. You be what God would want you to be. To be that friend that the Lord would have you to be. That's important in these days. Because those friends that you are, those people you have around you in school or somewhere else, if you treat them bad, they may end up treating somebody else worse, and it may cause them to do harm to themselves. So keep these things in mind. Always be a true friend. Now, who is the best friend that we have? Sarah got it. God is. And what the Bible tells us to do is to be like God. Be like Jesus. He's our example. So, all right, I'll turn you loose now, okay? going to keep him for a little bit. Good to see everybody today. Let's all be friends to everybody. Sometimes it's not easy to be a friend to some people. They may not allow us to be friends. These people that from time to time, you know, we all get ignored by people, and it's hard to be friendly to somebody like that. But if we show the love of Jesus, you'd be surprised how much that would have an effect on them, is what it'll do. It's good to see everybody out today. We want to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. Does anybody have a prayer request upon your heart? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Bless you, Sister Joan. It's always good to be thankful when God answers our prayers. Somebody else have something on your heart? Good to have you back with us today. Good to have you back. Appreciate this. Somebody else. Let's be prayerful for those that are unsaved. We need them to be saved so they can go to heaven with us, right? And we need a burden for them, is what I say. I was taught as a young one to always pray for those that were unsaved. So it's important for us to have a burden. And if you don't know what a burden is, it's that feeling on the inside of just desire and want for somebody. It may not be about their soul salvation, but it'll be about something that you really have a great desire for. And it'll get to a place a lot of times, or it has with me is the way I'll say it. It has gotten to a place sometimes where that it was the first thing on my mind in the morning, and it was the last thing on my mind when I went to bed that night. And usually when you start doing that and you pray a lot in between times, you know what will happen? Somebody else will help you out with that burden. They'll help pick it up and carry it with you is what they'll do. And the next thing you'll know is that burden that you had, that desire that you wanted to see happen, it'll just come up inside of you and it'll be blessed in front of you that you'll see that just happen at that time. So let's get a burden for these that are unsaved. Revival is coming up. I'll give this praise report. One of the revivals, the one where Brother Sam used to go to the church, their revival's been going on this week. They've had one to get saved that I know of, and they had two young men to tell they was called to preach, one from the church and one from another church. But I'm thankful that God is still calling men to preach the gospel. Let's remember these brethren. As they'll be starting out to preach the gospel unto a lost and dying world. So let's remember them. Anybody else got a prayer request on your heart this morning? We'll call on one to start our prayer, but as I say so many times, everybody pray in your own way, whether it's out loud or quietly, you just pray. Brother Lane, I feel like you ought to lead us in prayer this morning.
Thank you. May the Lord add his blessing to your donation. Let's continue our singing. Turn to number 91. Number 91, we need some alto help in the chorus of this song. He will pilot me. y'all are sounding good. Appreciate the effort you've put into the singing. Slow things down and turn to a wonderful number, 279, a song that I really enjoy hearing you sing. 279, Hallelujah, what a Savior. So awesome on that. All right, turn over a few pages to number 305. Number 305, we'll do about three, four verses of this one, where the soul never dies. Yeah.
thankful for the choir coming up to sing today. I look forward to that place where my soul will never die, don't you? I dream about it sometimes. I just think about it a lot of times and wonder just exactly how it's going to be. But as the scripture said, I don't believe we have the ability to even imagine how good it's going to be over there. And so I'm just looking forward to it, just waiting for the calling is what I'm doing. As I said, we have Brother Cooper DeGraffin Reed to preach for us today. He's a young preacher. He's out of Buffalo Springs Missionary Baptist Church up in Sumner County. And I'm going to ask you to pray for him. I'm not going to talk about him as a person. I'm going to let him do the talking as far as telling you who he is and such. But we're going to turn the service over to him at this time. But we ask that you pray for him today, that the Lord will help him at this time. Brother Cooper, if you'll come right on, you follow the Lord now.
Thank you, brother.
Bless you, brother. Good day.
Certainly thankful this morning to be with y'all. I'm going to lay this back here for now. I'm actually a member at Fairview in Woodburn, but that's all right. I won't hold it against Brother Ricky. We were at Buffalo for a long time. Really love that church and love the pastor there. Love my pastor now. I'll tell you a little about myself. Feel like I ought to tell my testimony and call to preach, and then we'll try to get started this morning. Y'all bear with me. My voice is a little hoarse. Had a cold this week and been kind of struggling. I tried not to shake too many hands. I don't believe I'm contagious, but just in case, I try to stay away from y'all. But we're thankful to be here. You know, we were reading about Hezekiah and him this morning and how he came from a family that was not brought up in this way, in the way of the truth. And, you know, I can relate to that. I had a good family in the world standards, and but I wasn't brought up in church or in this way. I would go occasionally with my grandparents as we would visit them when I was young. And they were from Missouri, and we would go out there, and we would go to Bible studies and go to Sunday service and Wednesday night and Sunday night, and they were there every time the doors were open. And as a child, I couldn't stand that. I was like, when can we go home, or when can we go do something that's fun? And by the world standards, that wasn't fun to me at that time. But I can look back now and see the seed that God planted in my heart. And I'm thankful for all those times when I didn't want to go, they took me anyways. You may be sitting here this morning and thinking to yourself, well, I don't want to be here either. You'll be thankful one day that God has placed a seed in your life where you can go to Him, where you can call upon Him in your time of need. So I neglected that part of my life, I guess you could say, and neglected the opportunities that were presented to me to go and seek the Lord in my younger years. I graduated high school, went to college, found myself in all kinds of worldly things. And I dropped out of college because the things I wanted to do were seemingly more important, or I didn't care about going and getting the education that I was on my way to get. I found myself in a world of hurt. I got saved in Allen County, Kentucky. On a Monday night, January 3rd, in a jail. The preacher came that night, and there was, he and I had had conversations, and I have no doubt in my mind that the Lord placed him in my life for a purpose. He told me about the truth, something that I could recall from my early years, that what he was saying was lining up with what I had already heard many years ago. And as I found myself there in that jail and I had time to think, it was just me. I got sober. I was in a world of drugs and hurt, and I had grief that I hadn't dealt with, and I had grief that was new to me. And I used drugs to cover those things up. But God separated me and put me there for a purpose. So that night I come in, and I had been pondering and thinking upon and feeling the conviction that God had placed in my life. And I was struggling with it. And the song I can only imagine was played. And I thought about my sister who had already gone on. You know, she was saved in Indianapolis at a youth weekend. But as Brother Ricky was talking about suicide, I could reflect back to some times in my life, some people I've known, some people I've loved that I've been close to that have took their own life. I'm thankful that she had a time and a place. My father also took his own life. And I'm thankful that he had a time and a place. It's not for me to understand. It's not for me to know why. I've wondered and struggled with that for many years. I don't understand it. But I know that all things work together for his good, for those that love him and those that serve him. So I was saved there in that Allen County jail that night on January 3rd, Monday night. I was facing charges and jail time and all these things, but when God placed that peace in my heart that night, nothing else mattered. I was unconcerned about where I was at. I was unconcerned about pouring my heart out in front of a bunch of grown men that would likely look at me and go, look at that coward, or look at that whatever. I was unconcerned with that because I had Jesus. He met me there. And as far as I was concerned, it was me and him. And he placed a peace in my heart that night that has never left me. And so when I got out, I joined there at Buffalo Springs, and they took me in, and they nourished me as a new convert, a new Christian. And the Lord didn't waste much time putting me to work. I was saved in January. I got out of jail in March, and about, I believe it was April 14th, the Lord called me to preach. And I thought to myself, Lord, do you know who you're talking to? Oh, I thought, surely not me. Surely you're not talking to me. I didn't know the scripture. I hadn't even hardly opened the Bible much on my own accord. But that night, there is a Thursday night, I believe, at Old Union Missionary Baptist Church in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And the pastor there, you know, Brother Ricky talked about, and we talked about in Sunday school this morning, feeling like a preacher is preaching directly to you. That night I felt that. He preached on our purpose. And the whole time I was convicted, I was heavy, I was burdened. And the Lord got a hold of me, and I went to the altar a couple times to pray, to ask the Lord and to make sure that what he was placing in my heart was what was for sure. And if I didn't have confirmation enough by the answer that I got from him there that said, preach my word, then a man by the name of Brian Johnson stood up and said, if there's anybody that feels like they're being led to the ministry, don't run from it. I want you to know that night I stood up after the service was over and I tried to get out of there as fast as I could. I didn't own it that night. A man by the name of Brother Jerry Reynolds stopped me on the way out as I was making a beeline for the door. And he said, son, just take it to the Lord. And you know, I went home that night and I bowed and I prayed and I battled and argued and did everything I could to get out of doing what the Lord called me to do. One, because I was incompetent and not ready and ignorant and just knew, didn't know what I was going to do. And I took what the brother said to heart. I took it and I just laid it at the Lord's feet. And I said, you're going to have to do this because you know that I'm not able, that I'm not competent in order to do these things that you've asked of me. But he's never failed to help me any time I've stood. And I'm thankful for that this morning. So that's a little about me. It's enough about me. I want to try to preach this morning what the Lord has placed upon our heart. And the thought that the Lord's give us this morning is, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now you'll find these words written in red in your scripture. You'll find that in Acts chapter 20 in the 35th verse. And those words in red meaning that Jesus spoke these sayings. And I found this interesting as I was studying that, you know, this phrase that the Lord spoke here in Acts was not something that was recorded in the Gospels. You'll find that as you search through the Gospels, this was not in there. There is a section there that I believe it's in Luke. And I won't be able to find it right now, but it's, anyways, he says that it is something along these lines. It's not exactly these words, but it says it is more blessed to give than to receive. And you may think to yourself this morning about different things that you'd rather give than receive. If you're a child here in the congregation this morning, you may be thinking, well, I'd rather give advice than sit here and listen to it from you or my pastor or my parents or whatever it may be. You may not want to sit and hear a lecture. But as we read and study about Jesus, we find that he gave and that he gave and that he gave. And I believe he knew this to be true by this point in Acts. He had went and he had given himself on the cross. And I believe that there's a reason that this was recorded in Acts and it was not recorded in the Gospels. Because the Lord is intentional in his doings. And so you'll find there, I want to read this section from the 28th verse through the 38th verse of chapter 20 of Acts. But you'll find here that Paul is, he's not really over or in charge of this flock. He addresses these men. He addresses them as the elders of Ephesus, and he addresses them and warns them and charges them as to what they are to do as he departs. But he's not their pastor. He's not their under-shepherd. And he says that in the 28th verse. He says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Paul tells them that you are the overseers. He's come and he's presented a message to them, and he's departing. And as he goes, he says that he has coveted no man's goods, that he has not coveted after or went after silver or gold or clothing or all of these things. But then he says this, that that Jesus says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And he talks about the things that he has done in his ministry thus far. And I just want to read it real quick. It says in the 29th verse, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." What does that word sanctified mean? It means to be made holy. If you have a time and a place this morning, then God has made you holy in the inward man. The outward working of sanctification is one that is an ongoing process. It doesn't happen overnight. Just as I shared in my testimony and my call to preach, I wasn't ready and I'm still not ready to stand before you today, but because God takes us and molds us and shapes us, if we'll allow him to, we can be able to be used of him. So that's what Paul's saying here, is that he is commending them to God, that God would take them and help them to be the overseers and help them as the Holy Spirit has called them to this work, that they would take it up and that they would be warned by Paul's word, and that they would use these warnings and these instructions from Paul to be the overseers that they need to be. And so Paul goes on to say this, "I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered or served unto my necessities. And to them that were with me, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." That word blessed, you'll find that that word means to be happy. We can turn over to the Beatitudes and read all the things that Jesus said, that it is happy to be this. It is happy to be. And he goes on there in Matthew chapter 5, you can turn and read that if you'd like, and I would encourage you to go back and read it and be reminded of those things in which the Lord says, ye are happy when. He said, it is more blessed, more happy to give than to receive. This may not be the direction that you think this message is going to go this morning, and I want you to bear with me, but the Lord has instructed me in a way that to take this. And I feel the need to read these few verses before we do so. There's a couple other places I want to turn. I want to finish reading this chapter. And it says, "And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him unto the ship. He commended them to God, the one that could make them holy and that would grant them their needs. Paul knew that God had provided for him. As he went and ministered and as he went and served other men, just as the disciples, when Jesus told them to follow after him, God provided their need as they went to these different places. They didn't take extra clothes. They didn't take extra food. And Paul went and he served and he gave willingly. And he gave what he had. And he says there, I've coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. He didn't want for anything because God provided for him along the way. And as he went and he served God, God provided for his needs. I want to turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians in the 9th chapter. And we'll be reading the 6th through the 10th verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 10. Paul once again here says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he proposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now you may be thinking in your head, finances. You may be thinking material things. It's not the direction I want to go this morning. But when we give out of love, and that's what Paul's saying here, is he goes on to say, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth or serveth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. When we give out of love, we are dealt with bountifully. And I believe, no doubt in my mind, that when we give and we are cheerful and we give out of a loving heart and we give because of our love for the Lord, I have no doubt in my mind that He rewards that bountifully. Whether it be material, whether it be financial gain, whether it be your labors, whether it be your time, whether it be your service to him or your service to your wife, or whether it be just you exposing the light that you have in your heart in your physical life. I believe that he deals with us bountifully in that. Scripture warns us, don't store up earthly treasures, but to lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven. We're not giving to get. And I believe the Bible warns about that, is that our heart posture would be one that we give because we love. We give because, and we could go into tithing here and the first fruits and the first 10%, and we could go back to the Old Testament and we could see why those things are important, and we could see why we give God the preeminence both in our finances and both in our lives, but we aren't going to go that direction. But we don't give to get. That doesn't mean just in your relationship with God, you don't give to him to get from him, or you don't give to be blessed. And much of the world will tell you that today. They'll say, well, if you'll just donate to this cause, then the Lord will bless you. That's not the purpose. They've missed the point entirely. But this goes beyond finances. This goes beyond material gain. This goes beyond giving God the first 10% of your material, the first 10% of your income. This goes beyond that. And we can view this in our homes. We can view this in our relationships with our friends. We can view this in our relationship as a church. We can review this in our outreach, in our communities, that we give our time and we share and we give the good news because we love. We love the Lord. We want the good news to go out. The good news this morning is that He lives, that He is the way out. If you're going to be saved, if you're going to escape a devil's hell, it's going to be because of Him this morning. He says, I am the door. He says, I am the good shepherd. He says, I am the light. Everything good is from above. Everything good about me, everything good about my story that I've been able to share with you this morning, and I truly do love to tell the story. You know, my old pastor, he preached on that last week, and I really enjoyed that. He said, I love to tell the story. Don't you love to tell the story of your salvation this morning? Don't you love to share the good news of, I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, and I didn't see the good that was being done to me as a child, but now I see. And I'm able to take part in those blessings. In James chapter 1 and the 17th verse, he says this. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. What does that mean? He's the same. He doesn't change. He's the same today. He's the same yesterday, tomorrow, forevermore. Of His own will begat He with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Now I had to study on that and think upon that for a minute. What does that mean? From the dawn of creation, He created animals. He created the heavens and the earth. He said, let there be light, and there was. He created all these things. He created you and me. What is a first fruit? First fruit is, you know, we can turn over to Galatians and read about good fruits. We can do a fruit test of ourselves or of others and look at the good deeds and the things that are being done, and are they of God? But I believe that, as the writer says here, of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Of all the things He created, we were the ones that were going to go to Him. And it says that, you know, that the grass and the water and all these things, you know, they move at the hand of God. They grow because He giveth life. They do because He says do. But we, having free will, have the opportunity to turn back to the Lord and be saved, and to repent, to experience that, and we are the first fruits of His creatures. What an honor. What a privilege it is to be His first fruits. And then we, likewise, being the first fruits of His creatures, we give back the first fruits of our substance. Right? We give back the things that are rightfully His. See, that 10% or those material things or your time that you should spend with Him on a daily basis, all these things that are rightfully His, they're His. He owns those things. And when we withhold those things from Him, it's a sin. When we withhold the things which He's given us, when we withhold those first fruits and fail to give God the preeminence in all parts of our life, what's that word preeminence mean? It means to give Him first in everything we do. To give Him first in everything that we have. That the first of our substance would go to Him. And when we do that, He blesses. because it's in his nature to. And we don't do these things out of guilt or out of feeling that we have to, but we do these things out of love for him because it's what is owed. It's what's already his. And in his nature, he'll bless those things because he desires to bless those that are true to him. He desires to bless you if you'll do the things of God and you'll give him preeminence in your life. You'll give him preeminence in all the things that are of you, all your substance, your materials, your relationships with others. You'll give him first in all things. He will bless. He is our ultimate model for giving. He gave more than we could ever imagine. God and Jesus are the ultimate model for giving. I want you to turn to John chapter 3 in the 16th verse. And this is very familiar scripture. If you know it, you don't have to turn there. But John 3:16, and I want to read the 17th verse as well. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." He gave so that you and I could have everlasting life. He gave so that we could have peace, so that we could have an atonement for the sins that we commit. He died on the cross for you and me. And that's what the 17th verse there says. It says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, through his Son that he offered for you and me, that we might be saved." I want to turn also to John chapter 10. John chapter 10 in the 11th verse. Jesus once again doing the speaking. He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." He was obedient unto the cross. He was obedient in giving his life so that you and I could have eternal life, so that our sin could be atoned for. He was the perfect sacrifice to atone for a world of sin. One without blame. One that took on sin, who knew no sin, for you and me. I want to shift at this point in our message a little bit. You know, we are supposed to give to the Lord. We're supposed to give in the financial way. We're supposed to give in the support of ministries, in the support of our church, and all of these things. But this principle, as I said before, goes beyond and into our families, into our relationships, into our homes. And we can apply it there. You know, my wife, she got her wisdom teeth out Friday, and I don't mean to call her out, but She serves in our house. She serves me very well. And I'm very, very thankful for all that she does. Truly am. And before her and I got married, that we were counseled by some brethren that I think very highly of. One married us, and the other one was my first pastor. And he read us a book, or he had us read a book, and we went through it. And the book is called Love and Respect. Many of you may have read it. And we went through that book, and it gave us both the outlook on marriage that we should have. If you've not read that book, I would encourage you to read that book. And so we read that and went through it. And, you know, I serve in our household in a different way than she does. And God intended it that way. God intended for us to have different roles, husband and wife. Very different. God used husband and wife to equate to Christ and the church. And he used that, and we are used today in our marriages to uplift and praise the Lord. Do you know that by you serving your wife or you serving your husband, that you are honoring and glorifying God? That's the direction we want to go this morning. In your marriage, in your household with children, or maybe it's just you and your wife, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I'm not always the best at serving her maybe the way that I should. And I maybe don't listen or hear her the way that she would like me to sometimes. I'm sure as men, you know, we've all been there. I didn't listen or I didn't hear or, you know, whatever the case may be. How many of y'all have done that? Well, I know I have. If none of you have, I guess I'll speak for me. But, you know, I go to work and I'm the provider of the home. And I believe that that's the way the Lord intended it. She also works and she provides. And, you know, we're trying to save for a house right now. And stuff's expensive. The goal is for her to be able to stay at home and to raise our children and to be the mother and to be the home provider in that sense of taking care of the home. And I believe that when that is the case, the Lord truly blesses that. Because as men, we are supposed to be the providers. We're supposed to go out and work to provide and to give the things in which our wives stand in need of. We're to provide for the family, for the kids. And in this day and time, those things are hard to do on one income. You know, I've said that to people I work with, and I've said that in different places that I've worked, and they've looked at me like I had two heads. You know, but we can make sacrifices, and that's what I want to talk just a little bit about this morning, that as men, you know, we make sacrifices in our own wants and our own desires for the sake of our wives and of our children, and for the sake of the Lord, most important, that we give him first, and we make sacrifices. Maybe I don't get to go fishing on Sundays because I'm in the house of the Lord. He's got preeminence. And because I'm here and because I'm doing what the Lord's called me to do, my wife benefits from that. My children benefit from that. See, it's generational. And we find that as many have gone on before us, there's less and less that fill our churches every Sunday. But it starts at home. It starts in our service to our wives and to our husbands and to our families at home. And God uses that in a great and mighty way, that you can look on a relationship of two people that you know that they serve the Lord and you know that they worship and they put God first in their life, and you can look upon them and go, there's something different about them. And that's what the Lord desires from this, from us this morning. I want to turn familiar scripture to those of you that are married. It should be familiar scripture, but Ephesians chapter 5. I want to read through the 19th verse. Ephesians 5, verse 19, and we'll read down through part of the 6th chapter. Paul addresses them first in this chapter to love Christ. He puts that as preeminence, just as we find in Paul's writings that he tells them that it's more blessed to give than receive, and he talks about the Lord, and he talks about the things that they are to be warned of and to be set before them, that they should put the Lord first in their life. He addresses to them first that to follow Christ and to be pure in doing so. And in the first part of this chapter, he talks about all these sins and all these things. But if you'll read there in Ephesians 5 and 1, he says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." He compares us to children. You know, I got the opportunity to preach at Macon Christian Academy a couple weeks ago, and I'm telling you, that's intimidating, preaching in front of a bunch of children. And it's hard to preach to kids because they're so easily swayed. Their mind is so fertile and just like a sponge, I was scared to death I was just going to say something that was a little off and sway them one way or another, pervert their mind in maybe a way that it shouldn't be. Not that I had intentions of doing any of those things, but I was fearful because their minds are so easily persuaded. And the Lord has to help us in that way. But he says, "Be ye followers of the Lord as children." We'll address that in the 6th chapter. But he addresses family roles. He addresses the husbands and the wives. And he starts, I want to start there in the 19th verse, Ephesians 5. He says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." He says that after he talks about these sins and how the days are evil and understanding what the Lord, what the will of the Lord is. And he says to do that by speaking in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I believe singing's important. You know, a lot of times it'll get us through the day as we just hum along, or we'll pray to the Lord as we're working. He goes on to say, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. He's saying, wives, respect and serve your husband, and support them, and have a value for them, for their leadership in the family unit. The husband is the head. So wives are the representation of the church, and husbands, men, you are the representation of Christ. Women are called to have unconditional respect. If you'll read that book, Love and Respect, you'll find that. As he talks about that, that the women are to have respect for their husbands. And, you know, as men, we don't often respond to the lovey-dovey stuff as much as when our wives just appreciate us for something good that we've done. But husbands, the wives need the lovey-dovey stuff sometimes. And we have to do that in serving them, that we would show them the love of Christ, that we would give them the love that they need. And so he says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. We have to lay down our selfish desires and wants and like lives, if necessary, just as Christ did for the church. And sometimes that means taking on suffering or taking on things that, well, I don't want to, but we do them anyways. We have unconditional love for our spouses, and we have unconditional love for the Lord. And in the sixth chapter there, I'll skip over to the first verse there. Actually, I want to read the end of this. That he might present it, verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence or respect her husband. He goes on to talk about children. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. He compares us to children in the first part of chapter 5, and then he gives a command to the children there, saying to obey their parents. And then he gives a commandment to those that are servants, to be servants, not unto masters, but servants unto the Lord. That our eyes and our hearts in the service that we do, not only in our families, in our workplaces, as we serve those that are higher up than us, that we do those things as if we are serving the Lord in those things. See, we're all just as children to the Lord. And we obey and respect our parents as a way to reflect what we do for the Lord. And as we teach our children and raise them up in the admonition and the nurture of the Lord, that they would understand and they would respect and listen and learn intently from the parents, representing all of us as God's children. And the parents, that you are representing Christ in your service to your children, that you're raising them in the right way. Not all of us have been as fortunate to to be raised up in this way, but you that have and have passed it down from generation to generation to generation, what a blessing. As I said earlier in the message, that those things are generational. And once someone's been saved by the grace of God and has experienced the peace of God and experienced the service of God, and just as when I was called to preach, I didn't know what in the world I was going to get up here and say, what I was going to do, or even how. But the Lord gave me the words to say. The Lord will help you in your parenting. The Lord will help you in your relationships at home, and your wives and your husband relationships, and those duties and those things that we are called to do as men and women of the household. And as you teach your children and you teach that generation after generation after generation, as God has called us to do, and then people began to look into your families. You know, it's okay to open our homes sometimes and show the light of the Lord that's in it. The Lord has blessed us. The Lord has blessed me immensely in our relationship as husband and wife. And He's allowed me to see. You know, as she got her wisdom teeth out this weekend, I took off Friday and I took her. And I'll be honest, at first I thought, man, work is crazy, okay? I'm covered up busy all the time. I do HVAC for a living. I work 60 plus hours a week. I'm on call every now and then. And it gets crazy. And we're saving for a house, like I said. And sometimes I let myself get a little bit distracted on what should come first. I did that about a month ago. She asked me to take her to go get her wisdom teeth out. You know what my response was? This was bad husband etiquette here. But I said, why don't you get your dad or your mom? You know, they're going to be out for summer break and I won't have to miss work. She wanted me there. And rightfully so. And so I recognized my mistake. And so I took off and I took her. And the Lord let me see something. Just the day that I got to bring her home and I got to care for her and I got to help her change her gauze and do just minute stuff. It wasn't anything major. But the Lord helped me to see in that it is truly more blessed to give than it is to receive. I got to serve her in a way that I don't normally get to. I got to cook for her a little bit and do some things that I don't normally get to because I'm out late. And she's the homemaker. She provides. When I get home, she's wonderful at it. I got supper on the table, or supper fixed, and there's, you know, everything that I need. She's pretty well done, and I'm thankful for that. But I got to serve her in a way that I normally don't get to. And when you do that, when you see those things, and when you see that serving outside of your comfort zone a little bit, you know, I'm not maybe the best cook, or I'm not the best at cleaning the house, and it's probably not just the way she wants it. But the Lord blessed me in that, in getting to serve her in that capacity. And the Lord can bless you. You know, it's not about giving to get, but the Lord is a great paymaster. As you serve in your family unit, as you serve in your household, you'll see that God will bless you in that. God will let you see things that you maybe didn't see before. It's not about, as much of the world looks of, what can I get? What can I get? We look at that in our jobs of, well, I may just go over here and I'll get something better. I'll get better pay, or I'll maybe, and some of the world, they get to the point in their marriages where they think, well, I'm not getting what I want, so I'll just go get it somewhere else. That's not what marriage is about. That's not how it was intended. It was intended that we would give, just as Christ gave himself for the church. And the church gives themselves to the service of the Lord. I want to read one more little passage of scripture. And then I'll close this morning. In Luke chapter 9, beginning in the 57th verse. It says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. And this man, it says, but he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. The disciples that followed after Jesus, they left all they had. They left and they followed him. And he calls us to use all that we have to serve him. And you can do that in every aspect of your life. You don't have to just serve the Lord in your finances. You don't have to just serve the Lord in your material things. You can serve him by doing the things that he's called us to do in his word in our marriages. You can serve him by raising your children up in the admonition and the nurture of the Lord as he's called us to in the scriptures. It's in Proverbs that says that, you know, raise your children up in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. We're called to do the will of God. We're called to follow him in all areas of our life, not just the material. You know, so much of the world in our churches, or different churches, you know, they get caught up on the money. How much can we raise for this, or how much can we raise for that? But money is just money. What can we give? What can we do to serve the community? See, we're called to be ministers of the gospel, ministers of the good news. And to do that, we are to serve. That's what that word minister means, if you didn't know, is to serve. I believe Brother Ricky probably does the best he can to serve each and every one of you the best as he can. And each of you ought to be doing the best you can to serve the Lord. Because as he's serving you, he's serving you as if unto the Lord. He's the under-shepherd, but the Lord is the good shepherd. Our service to others in the relationships and the family unit, that's where it starts, but it goes further than that. As you step out into the world and you've got your family where it ought to be, you're serving your wife, you're serving your husband, you're serving your kids the way that you should, in the hierarchy, you know, the Lord first, then husband or wife, then your kids. Amen. If you're serving in that way, then you can take it a step further and go kids, and then go, you know, church, and then go community, and it can just get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And you can serve as if unto the Lord. It can be your jobs. You can serve in your jobs as if unto the Lord, and the Lord will bless it. That's our message this morning. I hope that it can be a help to you. I hope that you'll consider what we've said this morning, and I hope that you'll attempt and try to serve and remember that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Thank you, Brother Ricky. Thank you, church, for allowing us to come this way.
Good to have Brother Cooper with us today. Very good thought. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And using the family and the parents, the husbands and wives, as we serve one another, that is a true light that we show unto the Lord in that way. And as we said earlier about our children, when we do things for our wives, our children see that. And they'll mimic that, is what they'll do. And we pray that they'll always follow what God would have them to do. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Brother Sam, let's have a song. Let's come together and let's wish Brother Cooper Godspeed. I want us to come around and shake hands with him today. We don't usually do that here today, but I try to do that with our visiting preachers. But everybody that would, let's come around, let's shake hands one with another in good Christian fellowship, and let's be about God's business today. One of the things that we can do as far as giving is thinking about those that are unsaved. Just a little word sometimes is a great gift to them. So while we stand and sing, let's be about God's business today. While we stand and sing.
211.